Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Facilities Committee Meeting. Complete recording. September 5, 2017.
We have a lot of concrete work, sidewalk and others, curbing, steel, and this site. All that work going to start shortly and we'll complete by mid-October. The big topsoil that we have is out there after this, before the sidewalk and curbing. That topsoil is going to be removed and packed down around that, the entire site. And that's going to be done by end of October. And also the actual paving of the site is going to be in November. Those are some of the site work information. The first floor, we had a problem, so we were kind of a little behind the second floor. The first floor, you could see the classroom started getting sheetrock, grid, and getting ready for drop ceiling and lighting. That work is not done for the year. So what's happening here is we're working all by sequence. Some areas there's no sheetrock, and a lot of areas there's a sheetrock, there's a plaster, and taping is all done, and the painter is put the first coat of the painting, and they go right back on and then put it together. So this is in sequence, and actually they're doing a very good job on that. Second floor is a different story. You can see now the lighting is there, the grid is there. You can see the drop ceiling, the louvers for HVAC is in place, and we're way ahead on that on the second floor, but they're putting a lot of construction on the first floor now. This is a picture of the auditorium area. The grid, the entire grid, that took almost a little more than 3 weeks. That's all completed. And again, the rest of it is electrical, and all those work is in work progress, and the lighting system. And that's the stage area that you can see. This is a picture of the media center. Another major work that we did during this month, over the past month, was a lot of window glazing. And it's got all that done. You can see that media center is now, the glass is on here. Steel monument from outside, the framing needs to be done, but all the glass is in place. This is a picture of the cafeteria. This is outside the cafeteria. Again, you can see the cafeteria nice closed, and the third monument is still work in progress. Above, the insulation has been completed, and that area is going to be metal paneling and going to go over the top of that area. Inside that's the cafeteria. There's not a lot going on at this time, but in there, they just closed the entire area. But the kitchen area is a lot going on, which is very close to the in the same area. So the kitchen, the ductwork is work in progress. They brought a lot of equipment there. You can see a lot of the framing is in work in progress in the kitchen area. This is the back of the gym. They brought the crane and installed a lot of big HVAC equipment. These are air handlers that we installed, and exhaust fan and our system is on top of it. That's done. That area, the roof is 100% completed, except the capping. That's why you see the roof materials are hanging down over the brick beneath. This one is a picture of the, gym area. That's facing a 309. The block work is 100% completed in this, the entire gym, all four walls. And the top is the metal is going to go on the top, and that's the area. This is the main entrance of gym. You can see that they started showing that the project is moving, and it started getting closed now. Our goal was to get it closed as fast as we can. We're trying to get it to 100% closed soon. This is an administration area. This area was all wide open. There was nothing happening. Then in the last month, there was a lot happening there. the brick veneer is done, the lighting is, glass side is done, the glazing is done, and we go inside of the admin area, the framing is in work in progress, and that area is starting getting framing and the start shaping it out, the layout is all done. That's the administration area. This is the main entrance of the building, so it's dark a little bit, that's the entire building. The front, on the top, on the side, glazing is all 100% complete. And some of the information, 72% of the project is completed, 78% of the project is enclosed, and the scheduled call for February 28, 2018, at the last, the schedule of 11 that we received,
February 28, 2018.
Yes.
For them to
hand
it to us?
We would get the completion, construction completion at that point. Substantial completion, so that we would get a TCO or CO, it all depends how it's going to go at that time. So they turn the building to us at that time.
Great. Any questions for us right now?
Just based on the February 28th date, the construction, they turned the building over to the district.
Yes.
And based on our experience, what's the timeline? Are we going to have, how long is it from that point until we would be ready to open the school?
Again, that's I think we answered in the past, but. At that time, we have to look at how we can bring our furniture in. Right now, we bid the furniture, the furniture people got the job, and they're looking for a schedule, when we're going to deliver that. So we can't release that to them yet because we're not ready for it. But when you get closer to that area, maybe in December, we know a lot more than when the furniture should be delivered. So then we have to work with all the prime contractors and say, well, we're going to release the furniture to come in. We could get that out of them. We would gain it at 3 weeks. So we would put all, as they're doing their work, we're putting the furniture in. So that would be a big help. And then before that, obviously, we have to do cleaning because they do broom cleaning, we have to do detail cleaning. And that takes time. So all that is going to happen during that period. For example, and wind code, we didn't lose any day. So they told us February 28th. We were all done in February 28th. We scheduled. It all depends how the construction goes as we get closer to that.
All right, so let me ask the question another way. Because obviously it's sort of like dominoes as far as what goes on. But if in a best case scenario, we would have the same experience we had at wind code.
That would be the best.
That's good. Yes. The worst case scenario would be whatever it would be. We would be a month behind. So from a best case scenario to a worst case scenario, what would be approximate span? When is the earliest we could get in, and when would be the latest we would get in? Given a worst case scenario.
Today, the schedule calls for February 28th. So that would be the best scenario we would get in. 28th and work with all the contractors.
Is it the 18th or 28th?
It was the 18th last meeting.
Right.
So it's, now, what is it now? 20th.
Let's move back 10 days.
It's not the work in there.
That's when we would get the building. That's not when we could open the school. February.
Again, this is all the sequence issue. We have to work with the contractor. Let us get in.
Sure.
We have to work with the contractor. Let us get in.
I understand.
We have to look at all the kitchen equipment and the county approval. So there's a lot of stuff going to happen in this time.
But knowing that all has to be done, when is the earliest we could possibly expect to open the school? And in a worst case scenario, when is the latest?
The best would be in 28th of February. That would be the best that we could get in. And the worst, I cannot.
Not get in, but actually have students, start teaching. When would be the earliest? Wouldn't be February 28th.
February 28th is all construction issues.
Right. So when would be the earliest?
Then again, we have to talk to our educators.
Modify the question to say, could you finish moving by the end of spring break? Could we start the other side of spring break if you were to have the building by the 28th?
Is that true? Because we're now into March in a best case scenario. So I'm not sure that's, I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I'm just trying to.
I recall that in previous meetings that there was a 30 to 40 day window that was given saying that if they hand the building over to you on this date, there is between a 30 and 40 days where that has to turn. A lot of things have to happen within those 30 or 40 days. So this date means that you add 30 to 40 days, and this is me remembering other meetings, and you can clarify, Dr. Bobby, but I remember that when we've had this conversation before, that when the contractors hand over the building, and then we've asked questions about, well, from there, Dr. Bobby, the work that you have to do to turn it around into a livable space where someone can actually move in, I referenced that 30 to 40 days. Where that is,
I'm still saying the same thing because it's still we have all the permits to get through.
Yes,
we have to clean in, we have to bring all the furniture. There are some time that we could gain, and that's all unknown that what I'm talking about. It's all if this thing happened, if that thing happened. But in normal business, it would be in 30 days more.
So your understanding is approximately 6 weeks after the building is handed over to us, we would be able to start classes. Is that what you're saying?
Best case.
Is that what the understanding
is? Spring break is when?
Spring break. I was going to say, don't make the administration say that.
March
spring break.
I
wouldn't make the administration say that. Spring break is the last week of March. So April 2nd is when students come back after spring break.
And we
April 9th is when PSSA starts. So I wouldn't assume that we would want to move students from one building to another, collapsing from three sites to one in the middle of PSSA. So my sense is, not requiring the administration to go on record, spring break gives you a whole week where people don't have to do anything, but you can do those last minute things. Can't get it done by then, you're talking about September.
Is it worth moving everybody for 1 month?
Right. So to tie into that, I'd like to have the board look at and consider the idea of if pragmatically it's going to take us at the earliest, probably early April, and then about the cost benefit, with the negative side being that if we get the students in there for several months, then it can possibly raise issues with the punch list and getting things fixed that need to get fixed. And if we don't move students in, then we would have April, May, June, July, and part of August, and we would have 5 months to resolve a number of issues on the punch list, and versus a concern I have, which is trying to expedite the process, which might be at the expense of the long-term impacts in building.
Another thing, for example, the project that we completed is not really complete, the high school project. We have a CO, we got in, we have over 300 some punch list items that they're doing, they're working at night. This contractor agreed to do it at night and on the second shift. Again, we don't know how many punch lists we're going to have for this new project and how that, is it going to be at first shift or second shift, or is it going to be after hours? There's a lot of, this is a big building and a big project.
Yeah,
this time I can answer that, but I'm just saying these are, I know it's going on.
Other, Ms. Haywood?
So I would like to also factor in as part of the cost benefit analysis the cost to the district of maintaining the modulars and the cost of, I guess they would still be at St. Joseph's. A team at St. Joseph's, and obviously the students are at the high school would continue to be absorbed, but I thought that there was also some concern that they really could not be there physically long term for the whole year.
I thought that too until we actually moved in. Okay. The amount of money we invested in the building, what I saw today, was vastly different than the tone that I saw at Ivy Hill. It is absolutely much more conducive than Ivy Hill, and it surprised me significantly. The cafeteria in terms of sheer size, the fact that the hallways are just one linear path, either you go up or down, left or right. The size of the rooms were much more conducive than Ivy Hill. So for me, when I originally made the statement that, hey, this is, how long can we actually stay here before we actually fix the building? If today is any indication of what that can look like, and it speaks to the sheer amount of money we invested into the mods, even though some of that was unexpected, it looks really good in terms of sustainability.
Well, I'm not talking about just the mods, but isn't there also a team that's over at the high school?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that
so
was...
When you said cost, you said you cost to maintain...
No, the high school, they're there, but yeah. The question was, I thought that there was a concern that those students at the high school, since it was an additional number of students, would not be able to be accommodated for the entire year. That ended up being the case. I may be wrong.
Oh, no. Dr. McFaul would appreciate it as quickly as possible if we can do that. The teachers would maintain their same classroom schedule just for a little bit longer than they had anticipated, which would have been January. He gets his 11 classrooms back. But the shift that we made to teachers to temporarily move down the hallway, though I'm sure he would want to hear that, can be maintained for an academic year.
So I think I'd like to know what the cost, I mean, if it turns out that, you know, ideally mid-April would be the time frame in which we could, best case, get into the new building, and because of PSSA testing, we decide that that doesn't really make a lot of sense, and then we're talking about absorbing the additional cost of St. Joseph's from now until the end of the year. We've already incurred the cost for the mock, so that's
yes.
Already part of the budget.
Yes.
But that would be helpful to kind of understand.
St. Joseph's is very, very minimum mm-hmm. cost. It's like $6,000 a month. So that's nothing compared to the Cedarville project. Modular building, there's no cost. I mean, there's always a cost.
Operating cost
is always there. But even if we're not there, we still have to run our heating and air conditioning.
Right. So, I mean, the operating cost, even of Cedarville, even if there's no one in the building, has a cost to us as a school district as well. One other question is,
I'm interested in knowing, get the feeling from the faculty and the administration of Cedarville in terms of, you know, psychologically, would it feel better to make the move in April and kind of sort of settle into the building, sort of feel like within this calendar year or this school year we are actually, you know, in the building? Or do you think from their perspective it would just be a simpler process to just use those months and the summer to kind of hang in for another couple of months in the temporary quarters? I mean, do you have any sense from them what they're thinking?
Please take this with a grain of salt because it is a honeymoon phase. It is the first day. If I take you back to when teachers arrived to the mods on August 29th, that's not far from where we are today. Let me tell you what I heard from those particular teachers and understand that today was the first day and next week, next month, 3 months from now might be a different story. But if I were to capture those short weeks, I would say that the teachers at the mods are absolutely ecstatic and are absolutely shocked at what they received. They were not anticipating the modulars to look that way and to function that way. They had a perception of the building. And the teachers who arrived during induction and were given time to move into the mods and move things around and I went to every single teacher, and I made sure that I spoke to every single teacher in every single room. And uniformly, they said, this is a step up from Ivy Hill. They said, I haven't had a window in 4 years.
Every teacher.
So as far as I'm concerned, this is awesome. Not only that, but it's actually a window that looks outside to Grax. The cafeteria, in terms of square footage, is significantly larger. Today, I asked Marcy, where are all the children? And she goes, no, this is the lunchroom. And I said, yeah, but at Ivy Hill, how's that possible? Are the kids missing? He goes, no, that's because the size of the cafeteria is double the size at Ivy Hill. The teachers, in terms of classroom space, the classrooms were in the mods are larger than the classrooms that the teachers had. So if I did sum up the week that they've been, or the 6 days, I should say, that they've had access to the building, and today, the first day, they are very, very happy with what they have. However, they are very happy looking forward to moving into their new building. They did not and do not want to spend a year in that building. I didn't want them to spend a year in that building. After the renovations that were done, is it much more possible for me to see that? Absolutely. Before, I was like, you know what, Bobby, try to fix this thing and we have 5 months. After it was fixed,
It was a different scenario.
So though I know this is a much larger conversation, my preference would be to continue to push in terms of how do we find a recovery schedule that helps to accelerate that as much as possible. That's a conversation we have to have, because the last couple of meetings, for me to say, I would much rather have students and teachers in that building the last couple months of school then wait till the following year to move them in, even though I understand the board's fiscal perspective in terms of being financially prudent in terms of, well, what is the cost factor and what is the challenge of moving 750 some odd students into that place when there may not be a window besides spring break. So once we missed the winter break window, it became extremely challenging for us to rethink, how do we move kids in? Mm-hmm. And we have to move them in phases. We can't move everyone in because there's not a window to do that. And if we miss the spring break window, that it becomes even more challenging. So I am hoping that is where we can give some remnants to some people to say, you know what, at least I spent 2 months for those students. And to remember, these are students who also travel from other mods as well, who currently now are in the mods right now, because they did live their experience at elementary school in a mod. And they're right back to that process. So as much as possible, I will continue to argue and push, though, we have to look at the numbers that when we're ready to move, I want people to move in. But I know that they can't move in during SAT week. I'm sorry, PSSA week. That's definitely a game changer when we'll be able to do that.
Regardless of whether the kids move in before the end of the year or the summer or whatever, it would be nice if we could hold graduation, at least hold graduation day.
Sure.
As opposed to... Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Where was it last year?
High school. There was
it
at high
school.
Yeah.
Okay. It would be nice if they could have their graduation. I mean, it would be nice to be there, but it's not going to feel like theirs, but it's still the fact that they're seated with students. It would be nice if they could enjoy at least that piece of it.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure. Mr. Boyd?
Yeah, most of my questions were asked about, about, you know, psychologically, should we get them in there? It's kind of been touched on, and the fact that the mods are
I mean, I was impressed when we toured it back in June. I mean, that's my question is, how's it working out? And it sounds like it's off to a really good start.
It's amazing that, and that's what I try not to be too over excited and be Pollyannic, but I did share with Marcy, like, this is weird, what's going on? Walking through the Mods is very different than walking through Ivy Hill, because it just seemed like people were on top of each other. How is that possible with regards to the space? But I have to say I am impressed with that, and every teacher has echoed that. It's a matter of, it's a new package. Will people feel the same way 4.5 months from now, and they're ready to get out? Yeah.
I guess the one question is the outdoor space we talked about, as far as that hockey rink,
yes,
and using that during recess or their gym time. Has anything been done as far as
that came up today, and they will have access to that area. They did go outside on the side to during lunch as well. After the students ate their lunch, they went outside. was that? No, it was long. It was long. It was longer than that, because I was there.
They ate their lunch in 5 minutes.
Oh, that's exactly what they did. All of them do. So
they had plenty of recess.
Yeah, they inhaled the pizza as they were walking outside because they wanted to run. So we will have access to that space. We were just trying to today figure out what's the best access point for them to exit the building and to get into that particular area. And Dr. Bobby's going to look at the gate to make sure that that's appropriate for them, as opposed to there's another entrance that they walk around that we don't want them to do that. We'd rather walk through the front.
There's no problem using it. I did talk to the gym teacher. They're going to go there and use it. And we're going to keep,
So they can go outside.
Yeah. Our township use it during the Saturday, Sunday mostly. I went there to talk to the person who was actually doing all that work, and he wasn't there, so I'll go back again and make sure he knows that we're on the same page.
Yeah. And I encourage the board, and stop talking that, within the next 2 weeks, if you would like, you can contact Mrs. Hockfield and tell her that you'd like to stop by, and as long as she's able to connect that, and then you can walk around and you see how the space is being used with students in it. And I know some of you were impressed with the new finishes, but now that the kids are in there, it's a very different vibe.
And a quick follow-up question for the 18-19 school year, since they are in pretty good shape. Let's say I'm thinking of parts of EP that aren't in such good shape. Is it possible to move, at least temporarily, students, EP students in the Mods, or is EP in good shape, all the rooms? Well, I mean, could that be used as a backup area in case you had a classroom that couldn't be used?
Yeah, it's almost, that too, it is a much bigger conversation. It oftentimes, you just spent so much money on this, you're using it for 8 months. It'd be a shame to sit there, and obviously you have to keep the power running to make sure the building's there. And what are ways in which we can think about that? But unfortunately, we have to have a much larger conversation as a board, and what extends to be, which will open up to a much larger community conversation, is really what is it we're going to do with Elkins Park? And where we are as a district, are we ready to move forward with the original plans, or does this present opportunity for us to think about, I know that people don't like the R word. I know we use another word for it. What do we use? What word do we use besides the R word?
Chaos.
without having conversation about redistricting that we need to have, and then grade configuration, whether or not this is an opportunity for the district to look at its K through 4, 5 through 6 sequence, and to explore other opportunities. We did bring in decision insight, not only as to continue our demographic analysis, but to also give us input on what possibly a new configuration could look like. And I talked to a couple of superintendents who have gone through grade configurations. They began with, the community began with a K through 6 model, and then 8.5 months later, after conversation, we moved to a K-2-3-6 model because we wanted to focus specifically on that K-2 experience. So I'm eager and interested to think about how Elkins Park is going to move. And talking to Dr. Bobby, if we wanted to do the same thing and just keep it as a 5-6 configuration, if we started today, we're 3 years removed from actually walking into a brand new building, let alone if we wanted to explore research on other ways of looking at Elkins Park. And though Dr. Bobby tells me it's about the square footage in terms of cost, I keep my fingers crossed thinking that maybe designing a elementary building, traditional elementary building, may be less expensive than putting a 5-6 building.
We are working very hard to keep this building running. This is an over 67 years old building with no maintenance pretty much done. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're keeping the boiler going, but all the artery is bad. We have a good heart, but then there's all everything is leaking. The roof is, we have been doing a lot of work. I just want to bring to your attention, this is a lot of work just to keep it until we figure out what we're going to do. The same in this building is the same thing. So it's a big challenge for us and our people to just get this thing going into something happens. And don't be spending a lot of money.
Speaking of that, I'm definitely looking at the numbers that projected it out. I'm a very strong proponent from a fiscal and academic, more importantly, academic standpoint of moving to a K-6. I just want to put that on the table.
Yeah, Dr. Marseille, we touched on the fiscal ramifications, possible ramifications, and also the teaching ramifications of, you know, how and when to move everybody into the new school, depending on it's ready. To me, the overriding concern I would have is at what point is it disruptive for the students' overall learning? And to exaggerate, to make a point, if there was only 1 week left in the school year, you wouldn't move kids.
Yeah.
So let's start from 1 week and move backwards. What's the point of no return? Is it a month? Is it 3 weeks? Is it 4 weeks? I mean, I don't know, and it's kind of a rhetorical question.
Sure.
There has to be some point at which the money issue is almost irrelevant because you've already spent it. It is what it is.
Sure.
The teaching is not irrelevant, but everybody's anxious to get into the new building and be done with all of this temporary moving around. But there's also X number of students who, having just taken their exams or just coming off of that, and there's a certain amount of time left in the year, at what point does it kind of fracture their ability to get out of the year what they should be getting? Because moving into going from modulars or the high school or wherever they are to a brand new huge school, having to navigate the excitement of being there, learning where the rooms are, all the new stuff, and it's a learning curve for everybody all at once. And so my only concern would be, in the opinion of the administration, the educators, and that's why it's not something you can answer right now, and I don't expect it to be, where do you draw the line and say, you know what, if we get to be 6 weeks out, let's just bite the bullet and stay there, sure, and have a nice gradual move in, get everybody set, the teachers have plenty of time to set up their rooms.
Sure.
And the kids, will adjust, and they're fine where they are, they're not gonna, parents may appreciate it too, okay, especially if they've been having a decent experience.
Next question, also.
Great. How many FTE are expected to be on the site on average these days, and how many do we actually have there?
So people on sidewalk?
There's
over 100 people on sidewalk now.
The schedule, how many does it call for? Are we?
How many contractors you're talking?
Yeah.
It's about the latest report that I got from my insurance company was about, I think, 37 subcontractors on site working.
How many people?
People is over 100.
How many should be there?
So
the schedule effectively says 10 more.
But it's all is a fight between us and them.
Right.
And it's not a lot different. We're very, very close to what we have. The work, the school works throughout the whole state, what's going on. Now there's less work because of that, you know, they're done, and we could get a lot more labor in. We're not a whole lot different. We maybe 10 people here, up and down.
Is there a ramp up expected between now and when we're done? So in the next 2 or 3 weeks, does the schedule suggest that they're going to need to be bringing on another 20 people as they focus on interior work?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more people. It's a lot. He has all the caseworkers ready to go. He has it all on site. That's why, you know, we packed that site. The caseworkers go, the monument's going, the roofer is there. The asphalt people are pushing to get done. The track guy want to get done because now we're getting into the winter time. We want to get all that work out of our way. So it's going to be a lot more contractor and subcontract on this site, which is, we used to have 80, now we've got to 90, we're over 100.
And it sounds great. It just, to me, you know, also raises the alarms of, are they going to get there? Because that suggests that the schedule that's been pushed back 10 days still assumes that we need to bring on 10 to get to the schedule, perhaps another 30, you know, to get to peak staffing, wherever
the schedule and the reality is really two different things.
I sense that. Yeah.
So then the schedule might call for maybe a schedule doesn't call for any actual labor. The CM would say, you know, I'll go there and I could think maybe we should have a little bit more people based on the software that they have. This is all computers and all that. But at the end of the day, is the guy actually doing the work, and the contract is scheduling and the sequence of the work, how they move it around.
Sure.
Right now, if you go to first floor, the sequence is right on it. They're moving on pretty good. You can see in less than 3 weeks, all the glazing, almost 100%, they close the whole building. I'm just saying, these are all the advantage that they're doing that. My opinion, I think at this time, during the past month, like I said, just for this report, we're moving pretty good.
Yeah, it was a much better, I feel, you know, from what I could see, which is, you know, not at all trained at, you know, are we on schedule or not? It just looked like stuff happened.
The stuff is a lot.
I know a lot is happening, but Dr. Bobby and I have not talked about the conversation that happened 4.5 weeks ago, which was when everyone went and took a tour and took a walk of that place about what was the recovery schedule.
Right.
And we've been talking about this recovery schedule, and we had Turner and Burrow coming in here, and they kind of put on Mayweather and McGregor gloves on. Lasted longer than 10 rounds, and they went back and forth about what they thought, and we were supposed to. So for me, I want to be able to see what came out of those conversations in terms of recovery, which is why I am optimistic and hope that when they deliver that, we can see some remnants of moving something a little bit further back, so that, you know.
They did deliver that, but I didn't get a chance to talk to them.
Okay.
All the stuff is happening.
Okay.
I would have opted for.
Well, we can talk about it. Okay. All right.
We can
great.
See what's happening. We did met, and they came back.
As a very separate aside, maybe it's something for next month's meeting.
Yeah.
We've been talking about when did we get the building. Is there a similar, or is there a possibility of having a slightly separate timeline for when do we get the athletic fields? Because I know spring sports will start up around that same March, April time. So would all of the finishing work that they're doing on the inside?
That's their site.
Just site.
The
yeah,
entire
their
site control the fence area is theirs. We go talk to them, or just
don't try to jump the fence.
I
have jumped the fence once.
Not this fence. You can't jump this fence.
No, it was. Anyway.
This is better than Trump.
Don't worry about it.
So just a comment and a question. So the fencing looks great. It's a vast improvement over what was there before. So thank you very much. That is it's no longer an eyesore to go by. In terms of my question, we went from a December kind of delivery date of the building to a February, I think a date in January, then a February 18th, now February 28th. At what point will the board and the administration know that February 28th date is a firm date? Because also it goes on.
As we talked about an hour ago, sorry.
I just said that again. Then again, it's not the... This business, it would go by a schedule, whatever schedule called. The schedule has over 1,000 line items and sequence of the work and how the system works. And we have a professional that we hire to do the scheduling for us. They work strictly for us, for a contractor. And we get the schedule from them every month. And that schedule could change again. So sometimes they recover. That's what Dr. Marcel was talking about, the meeting that we had. And sometimes they add on to it.
So that's the question is...
That we don't know.
Well, we have to know.
And then we did, that's what the whole big, you know, the discussion was during that job meeting was that I brought up to them. I said, I go to the board meeting, they ask me when, I need to have a date.
Right, so the recovery schedule, I'm hoping, will get us to the point to have a definitive date of when we can actually get the building.
I will talk to Dr. Marseille and then we'll get back to you.
Yes.
So do we think they will know that within a week? Do we think we'll know that by next month? At what point do you think we'll know?
I've been trying to get an answer to that since I arrived around the project. So the... And this is why we had this conversation recently with Bill and Turner saying administration needs to communicate and plan effectively for when we are going to deliver the building. And I told Turner and Burrow that I appreciate the hard work, because I always have to start off my conversation with, I appreciate the hard work that you're doing. So people don't think I'm dismissive. But the reality is that I answer to a larger community and to students. And going from month by month and keep pushing the timeline back over and over and over again doesn't create a great communication protocol. I can't tell parents, yes, I think we're going to move in prior to the new year, and then we push it back. Then we push it back because there's a sequence issue. Then we push it back because there's a sequence issue. And then we push it back 10 days, because the last time it was the 18th in terms of that process. Why? Hence the recovery schedule, and why the meetings have been extremely contentious in terms of that, and then contractors saying that if it wasn't because of our misdeeds for the oil issue, then they would have given us our building on time. That's water under the bridge, and we can negotiate and talk about those when attorneys get involved around that aspect of it. But I would like some definitive answer as well.
I guess I'm just perplexed. Because I know that construction is so variable. There's a lot of different things happening, stars aligning. But this is the first time that I can recall that we don't really have a definitive time frame in which we know we're going to get the building. It keeps on shifting so much and up. I'm just basically saying it's a level of frustration, because I do think it puts administration, puts the board, puts the students, puts the teachers in a fairly uncertain position.
But also you have to look at their side. In this schedule, there is no delay add on to it yet. So this is all based on the construction sequence. They didn't even build in a lot of days that they could have built in. So they say, we're doing as fast as we can. You push us back 9 months, now you're pushing out the other end. I'm just trying to say,
there's
two
sides
in each.
Dr. Bobbitt, they don't have enough people. So assume
that,
this is just...
That is, again, is a people opinion. They go by fact and the way they do with business. If they don't have the people, we have to go back and say, you don't have the people. I don't know where we got that, but they don't have the people. If there's like 4 people short here, 10 people, the next month they're going to be... This is the way they schedule their people.
So what was the reasoning for, why did we lose 10 days over the last month or so? What was the reasoning we gave you? What happened? Why did we lose 10 days?
I've got to go back to exactly find out on the schedule that what it was exactly.
It's 368 pages of 11 by 24 sheets of paper with a number of sequences that extremely challenging to even make out. So when I get a stack this wide and this tall with a sequence, and it's 1,000 cells on each page.
It's useless.
It's useless to me to say, where did those 10 days come from? Because I might as well be looking at hieroglyphics in terms of that process. So I think this project has been frustrating for all because of the fact that this conversation around sequence seems to be that you're captured by the sequence change.
We're adding 10 days, we're adding 15 days, we're adding 20 days. So I just need to get a definitive response as much as possible so I can communicate to the larger community, so I won't have to keep telling teachers in September or October, November, oh, I did say this, but by the way, the sequence changed and they found something, so now they're telling me it's another 30 days on top of that. And then I'm gonna give it to you in February. Then they're like, oh, are you sure, Dr. Marseille, it's February? I'm like, yes. Then they tell me something else and tell me, oh, here's another pack, a stack of papers this long, this thick, with 1,000 cells on each sheet, telling me they lost another 28 days.
They got it, that's why I keep saying, they have to know next week how many people do they need on site. And that's not 1,000 whatever, that's 123 people. And if they show up with 100.
There's two different entities working. One is for us, they saying you should have 110 or 115. And the other one's a contractor side that said, no, we have enough people, and this is what we're doing. Based on, they work, both of them work based on the schedule. The schedule called to paint this room in this that many days, and they said, we're doing that. And that's the issue that we have. This is a schedule call to carpet this room 5 days. They get it done in 5 days. So if they believe that on the other side, when they send you should have 30 people, 40 people, it's nonsense. And we keep pushing that. So no, this is what we need to do. That's a headbanging going on between us.
But this is a rhetorical statement. I'm not trying to place blame. But if there is an unforeseen issue that comes up that will happen, that's one thing. But if it's a matter of they're supposed to get the room painted or a series room is painted in 5 days and it takes 7 days.
And it's not. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not. They're getting it done on those days.
But clearly something
there else. There are areas that I have to go back and figure out that where is this 10? First of all, it's not 10 days. Is it not 10, 4, you know, it's less than 10 days.
Right, so what
is it? Is it four days? Is it Saturday, Sunday? So I have to go back and exactly figure out between this big construction document and come back and say, okay, these 4 days or 8 days was because of this happened.
Well, then if they're doing everything in the amount of time they said they would do it, they just are deciding, then they're deciding each week to do less stuff. Maybe they're supposed to have painted two rooms in 5 days, and they said we're going to paint one room in 5 days, and we got it done.
It's all in the line item. It's not that simple.
All I'm saying is they continue to push off the date, and knowing that we're paying them for the project, they're not getting any more money, which means they don't have enough people on site. And this is just the obligatory pound of flesh that is required when you come to us and say, it's on budget, but we're pushing the date back more and more, and I don't know when it's gonna be done, because I suspect next month we'll push the date back a little bit more. Hopefully, there are just periods where there is a required.
We did have a meeting, Dr. Marshall was in that meeting in October and August 17. We did all this stuff that you guys talked about. We brought up. We had an all-day meeting. It was an all-day meeting in a hot day. And then there was a result of that. It came back after I talked to Dr. Marshall. I was in the update.
There's really two different questions. One is what Dr. Bobby, I believe, is saying is that if there were delays and if the timeline is being pushed back, tell us why the timeline is being pushed back. Where were the delays? Specifically, tell us where the second question, I believe, is what you're asking, is if we are where we are, in order to get back on the timeline, you tell us as the experts how many more people would take than you've contracted for.
That's almost what Dr. Marseille has mentioned with the catch-up schedule. What we're saying is, we even after that great meeting, you guys talked, you now push the date back 10 more days. My argument isn't, yeah, I mean, the first question that you asked is really the premise.
The direction I gave in that, I said, forget about all the problems we have from everything. Today is August 17th. How long it takes you to get this job done? That was the question. We brought all the contractor and a lot of the subcontractor and a lot of the owners of the companies into that meeting, and that was the direction. Please go back. Don't look at the schedule. We don't care about the schedule. We want you to come back and tell us how many more days you need to finish this project. And that was the question. That was the direction I gave them. and they came back with that.
Okay, let me take it out to the public. We'll start over here and go around. Introduce yourself, by the project, please.
Dan Schultz, live in Elkins Park. Context, I'm a developer. For a living, I do projects, I have schedules, I give estimates. My industry has existed for about 60 years. Construction, I think, is, what, a couple thousand?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. So I'm just, when I hear somebody say that schedules are shifting and there's no explanation behind it, I'm skeptical.
There is an explanation, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the explanation. They did ask me that, right. I wasn't prepared for that, and so I will answer that.
The one thing I would suggest, because one thing that programmers do, because there is a lot of risk around software, it's hard to make estimates. We estimate in 2-week chunks what will get done at the end of 2 weeks. And then we can know what got missed at the end of 2 weeks and why and how we can do better the next 2 weeks. I'm just curious, because it sounds like there is a schedule and it's very complicated, and I do not know how construction works, and I'm sure it's totally different. But are there ways to, like, could you know what's supposed to get done in the next month?
I just don't know, but if you look at the site work that I explained, I pretty much said what you just told me.
Okay.
So I said, this is the asphalt work I'm starting here, right. This is what's going to happen there, and I'm on that section of that, which I was focusing to bring to the board.
And
those 10 days, I'll be glad to go back and look at this schedule, and I'll get you off.
Ultimately, that's where accountability comes in, because it is really, I totally empathize as a member of the public with the idea, who works on long-term projects, with the idea that, you know, if you're looking at 6-month chunks, yeah, things are going to drift by 5% at a time. But if you're able to focus down, then suddenly a sense of accountability is there. I know, you know, if you say you're going to paint 2 rooms in the next week and they don't get painted, that's a very tangible thing that you can say, why didn't that happen? And obviously that scales up.
And it does happen. That's the problem we have, that the area that they say they're going to get done, they get it done. So I just have to go back and find out what this last 6 days is.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, any other comments from?
One other question. You know, we're heading into, we weren't planning to be doing this in winter, hoping this would be finished at the beginning of winter at one point. To what extent do you think that, you know, what if we have a bad winter? Is most of the work internal that can be done in spite of the weather?
Not 100%.
Potential pushbacks, yeah.
If you look at it, the report that I did, the closed building is at 78%. We're gearing up for winter. I'm telling you that I got a lot of work inside that I got to get done, so I would be fine. The only problem I would have would be temporary, because we cannot do a lot of our work, like a trestle floor and all that. We have to have a very good heating system there, and it has to be all temporary. That's a big challenge. They want to start a 200 of my unit, and then doing all this dust, it could get damaged, and I'm very worried about my unit to be turned on, because to give them a heat. But in the meantime, they're sucking all those dust in everywhere. So that there are a lot going on. So that's one problem. But outside work, that's a challenge. We're trying to get it done by December. So looks like the asphalt work, they're saying, and they told me, actually, they emailed me, that they said that they're going to get done, which is going to be up 6 inches of the base, 4 inches of the top. They're going to get it done by November 1st. All the base is going to be done by November 1st. The top coating, they didn't give me an answer yet, because we keep working on it. Our goal is to get as much as almost 100% of the outside done by.
I'm sorry.
Can I ask a follow up?
Please.
And not to play worst case scenario and continue this conversation. If we continue hypothetically to see what we've been seeing in terms of pushing back, right? Let's put it into a software algorithm and predict if we continue this trend, and we should easily do it, you can keep pushing it back. Will that impact the asphalt if we, is there a point where you can't lay asphalt?
Yes. Yes, it's all, it's when the temperature changes, it starts freezing.
And if you miss that window?
Asphalt crumbling, very, very high percentage that close in December.
Okay.
Very, very high percent, unless we have a very good, you know, December.
Okay.
90% that close. And it's not a good idea to pour asphalt in January.
Okay.
I'm sorry. One more question for the public.
Pamela and Michelle, I've realized from the conversations we're having, and this isn't a question that can be answered tonight, but my curiosity is, with the 10 days that we'll miss, is there the possibility for a makeup plan for that? Because I know sometimes with construction, there is that window of time because things go wrong, that things get pushed out. But I've also seen it where there is that space where everything is going right and there are other things that can be added into or that makeup time can happen. And so I'm wondering if...
We did during that August, the entire meeting was for recovery schedule. That was we asked. We asked them in different ways. That you're here now, tell us when you're going to get done. It was a very simple question. And I did got my answer shortly. We are doing recovery, but not the way we will talk about it.
Okay, and let me now close the meeting. Thank you.
So that was okay.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.